a new thing, a new beginning. We played a game earlier, and it was interesting to see all of what people would do for a bar of chocolate. If you were at the watch night service, you remember some of the rhythms we just had now. You also remember that the theme for this year is louder. A new thing, a new beginning. Words drawn from God's powerful promise to his people through the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 to 19, Isaiah says, forget the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? The Lord said, see, I am doing a new thing. There's something powerful about standing at the edge of a new beginning. A new year often gives us that sense of a fresh start, isn't it? We open new calendars, we write in new diaries, if you are old school like me. We carry new hopes that perhaps, just perhaps, things might be different. This is why so many of us make New Year resolutions. How many of you have made some resolutions already for this year? Well done, Tammy and Dad. and that is great. The beginning, I think I remember going to a gym one time, and not to a gym, but I think to a swimming to a swimming pool thing, and there were lots of people. It was January, and that particular year was my New Year resolution to swim at least once a week. So I signed up, and there were loads of people, and I was like, "Oh, really? I'm not really sure because there are so many people here." And the attendant said to me, "Oh, don't worry. Come 6 weeks' time, there'll be hardly anyone here. They're all like you, you know, signing up at the beginning of the year." And yes, new resolutions. A new season gives us an opportunity to make new decisions, to get pumped up, to get optimistic. But if we are honest, new beginnings also bring some old memories, some old regrets, that sense of unfinished stories from the past. And every now and then, maybe you remember some decisions or maybe some even prayers that you uttered at the beginning of the previous year. And subconsciously, those things just down the optimism, the energy with which you approach those new beginnings. And it is into this pessimism, this lack of energy brought about by old memories, old regrets, unfinished stories, that God speaks through the prophet Isaiah. God speaks not with condemnation, not with a sense of disappointment in us, but with a promise. Through the prophet Isaiah, God declares, forget the former things. Forget that you tried in the past and you fell flat on your face. He says, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. I spoke about these a bit during the Watch Night service, but many of us were not here. And it's important that we hear this message. See, I am doing a new thing. These words were first spoken to the people of God who felt trapped. They were exiles from home. They were weary from loss. They were uncertain about their future. Yet God didn't tell them to fix themselves or to figure everything out. He simply invited them to look again, to shift their gaze from what has been to what he is doing now. Brothers and sisters, God is not just the God of yesterday. He's the God of today. He is the God of tomorrow. When God says, forget the former things, he's not asking us to erase our memories. He's asking us to release the power that the past has over us. The past may be able to inform us, but it must never imprison us. The past must not incapacitate us from facing the demands of today and the promise and the promises of tomorrow. The famous writer C.S. Lewis wisely said, you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. Now, notice how God phrases his promise in Isaiah. He says, I am doing a new thing. In that Watch Night service, I reminded us that God did not say that I will do, but I am doing. He is already doing. Even when we cannot yet see it, God is already at work. I believe someone needs to hear this morning, or someone needs to hear it again. New beginnings often begin quietly, like seeds beneath the soil, growing long before they break through into the surface. God says, I am making in the wilderness a way. I'm making a way in the wilderness. I'm making streams to come out of wasteland. A wilderness speaks of confusion. A wasteland speaks of barrenness. Yet God speaks, specializes in the impossible. God can do exceedingly abundantly above what we can imagine. He specializes in impossible terrains. God is not faced about the wilderness. He's not faced about the depth of the valley or the heights of the mountain. The truth is that God can do anything and everything. In that reading from 1 Kings 20 that Bumi read to us, we heard about the enemies of God's people who assumed that God was limited. They went to war previously with the children of Israel, and the war was fought on the hillside. And the children of Israel won that war. And they came up, the enemies came up with this interesting idea that the God that those children of God were worshiping was just you know, the God of the hillside. I mean, that's why they won. If we bring the battle to the valley, definitely they're going to lose. That's interesting. And we may laugh at them, but some of us are like that. We are, most of us, probably all of us, are like that. Yes, he is the God of the hills, but not of the valley. Yes, he did this thing yesterday, but oh, will he repeat it? Yes, he gave us manna in the desert, but can he really bring our water out of the rock? Yes, many years ago, yes, I prayed and something happened, but I'm not sure if anything's going to happen now because the context and the circumstances are different. Brothers and sisters, let me remind us, our God is the God not just of the hills, but the Lord of the valleys. He is not just the God of yesterday, but the Lord over today and the Lord of tomorrow. He is the Lord not just of the summertime, but the Lord over the wintertime, over the spring, over the autumn. He is the Lord over all season and over all circumstances. That is why we simply call him the Lord. He's not just the Lord of the valleys. He's not just the Lord of the mountains. He is the Lord over all circumstances, over all situations. He is not just the Lord of the people of Israel. He is the Lord over the United Kingdom, the Lord over Kenya, over Albania. He is not limited by geography, by circumstances, by history, by any context. He is not intimidated by your valley, nor by the height of your mountains. Job learned this truth through suffering. When everything was stripped away, Job finally declared in Job 42, verse 2, that I know that you can do not some things, but all things. All things. In Jesus' prayer, in the book of Mark, chapter 14, we heard that Jesus knelt on the edge of a unimaginable pain, and he prayed, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you," because Jesus knew that. He knew that no circumstances, no situation can surprise God or is able to amaze him, because he is Lord over all things. He can do anything and everything. And yet Jesus surrendered fully, saying, "Not what I will, but what you will." If you recall in that prayer, Jesus was saying, "Father, take this cup of suffering from me." But because he said, the premise was God can do anything, he can do everything. But then he quickly added, "Let your purpose stand." It's not a case that you can't take it. I know you can take it. You can do anything and everything. But I want your purpose, your will to be done. God can do anything and everything. But part of our job is to always also add, "Not my will, but yours be done." Because his ways are not always our ways. His thoughts are not always our thoughts. There are many ways that seem right to us, but may not be the perfect will of the Father. And this is why what we need to understand sometimes when we keep asking for certain things and we don't get the kind of result that we think is the right one. Which is why prayer conversation with God should be part of our prayer, part of our New Year resolution. A place where we can get to understand the perfect will of the Father. Gethsemane, that's garden in which Jesus prayed, should be a reminder to us that new beginnings, the new things we trust in God for even this year, should be born in a place of prayer and trust with God. The missionary Elizabeth Elliot once wrote, God is God because he is God. He is worthy of my trust and obedience even when I do not understand. And that is why, you know, prayer is key. So as we step into this new season in which we're declaring a new thing, a new beginning, the invitation is clear and should be personal to all of us, that seeking the Lord's will as part of our New Year resolution should be key. Let's not cling to what has been, but let's begin to dare to trust God for what he's doing, for the fulfillment of his will and his purposes in our lives. With God, a new beginning does not require having all the answers. It requires instead faith in God, who knows all the answers and who can do all things. Don't forget, the God we serve is the same God. He was the same one who made a way through the sea. He was the same one who revealed his power in the valley, what we just read about. Was the same God who raised Christ Jesus from the grave. And he is the same God who will give life to us and raise us up after we are all even physically dead. So nothing can limit him. But let us learn to all walk with him, learning to pray as Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Brothers and sisters, it's a new year, a new thing, a new beginning. But let's start this new beginning determined to follow God more closely, to learn to seek his will and to walk in his will. See, I am doing a new thing. I pray God will give us eyes to see it, hearts to trust it, and faith to walk in it. In Jesus' name. We're now going to pray.